Because we are running just a tad late, I will allow for three questions. Dr. Laura, one, two, three, four.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. What's the impact on aquatic life and so on? First of all, you do have dilution. Where you've got the Great Lakes. It's a huge body of water, and so to put that concentration up, it's going to take a lot of fluoridated water to do it. You can't do it. You've got one part per million that's being discharged into a huge body of lake. Now, I should say the Canadian guideline for fluoride as far as protecting aquatic species is 0.15 parts per million. So approximately 7 or 8 times more stringent to protect aquatic life than to protect human life for aquatic species. And the concern I would have is, does fluoride interfere with the migration of salmon up rivers? How do salmon know where to go back and so on? So that part of the thing. And interfering with the caddis fly and other things up the food chain. But you shouldn't, there's one other thing I haven't dwelt upon, but this is the right audience I should have done. The fluoride that we're putting in the drinking water is not pharmaceutical grade. It's not the stuff you put in toothpaste. It comes directly from the scrubbing systems of the phosphate fertilizer industry. And it's contaminated with arsenic and cadmium and so on. Again, the answer to pollution is dilution. But when you're putting in arsenic, you're putting in a known human carcinogen. And it's not sufficient just to say, oh, it's by the time it's been diluted 180,000 to 1, it's less than the MCL, the maximum contaminant level. Because that MCL is a compromise. It's a compromise between what we want for arsenic, which is zero. The MCLG, the guide for goal, is zero because it's a known human carcinogen with no safe level. So to say it's okay because we don't hit the MCL is looking at an economic compromise. This is the compromise. 10 parts per billion is the compromise level because of the cost of removing arsenic. So we shouldn't let that issue, the cost of removing arsenic, to allow us to deliberately add arsenic, which is what we're doing when we're using this hazardous waste, industrial waste. Number two, yes. The short questions, but long answers, yes. It's a terrific question. Yeah. What's behind this? What's the motivation? If it really doesn't do much to reduce tooth decay, why are we doing it? Because, one, we're a very irrational species when it comes down to it. We're much more interested in protecting our prestige, our pet theories, than we are about. But anyway, that's beside the point. One industry you should look at is the sugar industry. 1 year before the U.S. Public Health Service endorsed fluoridation, the sugar lobby, said we need to find a way to reduce tooth decay without reducing sugar consumption. And they've never gone away. The sugar industry knows that fluoridation is a massive distraction from the our overconsumption of sugar in this country. Secondly, there were many other economic interests back in the 40s, like the aluminum industry, the steel industry, the ceramics, glass, oil. All were either using fluoride or had fluoride as a pollutant. They were very concerned about lawsuits from farmers with the fluoride contamination. Fluoride did more damage to agriculture than any other pollutant, according to the Department of Agriculture in the 1930s. But the real issue was the concern about potential lawsuits from their own workers. And a whole book has been written by Chris Bryson called The Fluoride Deception. A brilliant book. Brilliant. 100 pages of documentation. And these economic interests, I believe, have not gone away. And the clue is the fact that one of the most vociferous and nasty groups that continue to push fluoridation is the American Council on Science and Health, Elizabeth Whalen and her industry funded. So you know if they are out there beating the drum for fluoridation that there are big economic interests involved. Liabilities may be the issue. Maybe now Colgate and the other toothpaste manufacturers are scared stiff that if fluoridation falls, then their products are also, they're going to be under scrutiny. And if I do believe, if I was in industry and I was exposing my workers to fluoride, I would be very concerned if water fluoridation fell. Because if at 1 milligram per liter we could say there is a concern about health, what does it say about those workers who are being exposed to hundreds of milligrams a day, breathing the air and otherwise being exposed? But I think at the end of the day, I'll give you my, for what it's worth, this is sheer conjecture, I don't have any proof, but a lot of suspicion, that the real issue here is the public health community is so scared of losing fluoridation, because I think they've got it into their souls, their psyche, that if they lose fluoridation, they're going to lose the public's trust, they're going to lose their credibility, and they need that credibility to protect their other programs. And it may be that whilst they recognize that fluoridation really does amount to a hill of beans as far as doing much protection is concerned, if they lose fluoridation, is it going to affect, for example, the vaccination program? And that then is a multi-billion dollar industry. That and then often I get the first thing is someone, are you against vaccination? As soon as you say you question fluoride, are you against vaccination? And it tells me that it's uppermost in their mind that they have to keep protecting this big muddy in order to protect something else. That's, for me, what it's all about, is protecting your credibility. And of course, the counter-argument is, for goodness sake, if you're interested about your credibility, then come clean. That's the way you protect your credibility. You start telling the truth. You start recognizing the science. That's the way you protect your credibility, not propping up this rotten practice. Yeah, you should be able to get that data. What are the ground levels of fluoride? The average levels of fluoride, right? If you take it across the world, groundwater, etc., it's about 0.1. So we're jacking up the levels by nearly a factor of 10 when we fluoridate the water. But you get areas, high natural levels. They can go up in the United States to even as high as 6, 7, 8 parts per million, parts of Texas, Colorado, and so on. But typically about 0.1 parts per million. Now, I would not be happy. I would think that the... when the dust settles, that the MCLG should be zero. I don't think there's a safe level, but it's going to be like arsenic. It's a question of what level you can economically achieve. Maybe we're going to have to settle for something like 0.5, something like that, for the MCL. But I'm actually less concerned about the MCL because that does recognize the economic component. I would like to see the MCLG being scientifically determined, and I think it would have to be zero. It'd have to be zero because the neurochemical, neurobiological effects, but I think when they start seeing what level those neurobehavioral effects are taking place, it will be clear that we're already getting that level. We're getting exposed to that from natural products and so on. And so then they would say, well, we can't tolerate anymore. We can't tolerate anymore. And that would end fluoridation. The cheap filters do not work. The Brita filters of the activated charcoal do not remove fluoride. So you have to go to the more expensive things. You can do distillation. But then if you do distillation or you buy distilled water, please buttress it with a whole packet of nutrients from your store, local store. Same with reverse osmosis. But there's a mixed reports on that. Some units are effective, some may not be, so you need to have the water tested. And there's a promising system, bone char. That is marketed in places, bone char, to remove fluoride, which would be a lot cheaper than these. I'd have to give you the email address of somebody in California that knows all about this, that done the testing and knows how to get the system, bone char. But the real issue, believe me, the real issue is to work politically to stop this nonsense. And there's a whole network now of people around the world. We're getting stronger and stronger.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.